This Australian Grand Prix 2024 betting recap edition of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, NASCAR, F1, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off and get your first month and start making smarter bets today. Get ready for speed.
You just wait, Sunshine. You just wait.
Get ready for the passion.
To whom it may concern you.
Get ready for the raw emotion.
Sì, ragazzi! Grazie, grazie, grazie! Dai, forza Ferrari!
Get ready for the F1 Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb. My apologies for, if you're watching on YouTube, the abrupt start to that one. Full disclosure, I felt very, very inspired before the show even began and decided I wanted to make a quick little cue card just to kind of fill the gap so we're not staring at you awkwardly as the show starts. But I failed to realize that there was sound in it, so my bad. If you're listening on the traditional to the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, you have no clue what I'm talking about, but welcome anyways, and we are happy to have you. Cody, buddy, this was an exciting weekend for so many reasons, but one, we actually have a race to talk about that doesn't involve the normal.
Yeah, I was looking at the results here. Max Verstappen wins again, Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, Ocon with a fourth. Oh, wait, I got it upside down. I'm reading it backwards. Oh, my goodness. Obviously, yeah, man, Max doesn't win one. And that shakes everything up and changes the whole name of the game and the whole entire race out early. Lap three, giving everyone hope, even though nobody but Carlos Sainz had hope. But, yeah, it was an exciting race in the evening here on the U.S. Over in Australia.
Yeah, it was pretty nice to be able to watch it just at night. Like, I had it on, and I was keeping an eye on it and watching it and paying attention to it while the rest of the family was having a good time, too. And it was like, huh, late night races. I could get used to this. But, yeah, thank you, Australia, for being that far ahead of us. But, yeah, I mean, listen, all in all, this race was, obviously, it was entertaining because it had a different result. It had the same result with a different driver, I guess. Let's put it that way. However, there was some intrigue, and really just watching Max kind of burn out there at the very beginning, you just shook your head and wondered what the heck, because you hardly, in fact, you never see Max Verstappen go out like that. In fact, literally went out in a puff of smoke and went out onto the pits like that. So, I mean, I don't want to, there's no alarms to sound. This is not ever going to happen again. You would like to think that this is one of those one-time events that he'll be okay. He was pretty pissed off when it happened, but I think he'll be backed. He'll be better.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect too much to change. Preston checking in. Ayo, boys, what's happening? My papaya boys did all right last weekend. Yeah, they had a very impressive showing from those fellas taking home third and fourth place, respectively. And yeah, I mean, obviously it's a mechanical issue for Max, and that's going to happen. And Rod, we've been telling you for a long time, like, it's going to happen eventually, right? And this was the time it happened, and it's been 2 years since the last time it happened, which also happened to be here as well. So maybe he's just not made for down under. I don't know. But yeah, I know Preston was talking about some other places. He was listening to some things they were saying. I think Carlos Sainz maybe would have beat Max if they'd have been able to race. I don't know that that's the case. Max very well took off at the beginning, despite supposedly that tire being locked basically the whole time. So I think it probably would have been another Max domination as it was leading towards, but makes it exciting. Obviously you start to see the smoke and then Sainz gets around him and then he kind of finishes blowing up and catching fire, whatever the deal was there. And so, yeah, then it gave everyone else, you know, and that's kind of like a sign of, oh shit, like, hey, Max is out of this. We've all got a chance. Don't fuck this up. And Carlos Sainz didn't and becomes yet again the only other guy besides Red Bull to win anytime recently. You know, he broke Max's last streak. I think he had 11 races. This time it was 9 races in a row for Max. And Sainz was the guy to snap both of those. So, and hey, still doesn't have a ride for next year, Rod. Still looking for a ride and proving more and more, you know, in the 2 races he's been in, obviously missed the one with the appendix. And, you know, this is coming off of that appendix. And I know the commentators were mentioning didn't seem 100% still as he's kind of walking around gingerly, everything. And then straps in there and takes the beating and the forces of those cars and goes out and smokes everyone and takes home the victory. So obviously we know he's going to get a ride somewhere anyways, but continuing to impress and show that he deserves whatever that next ride is.
You know, and that's the funny thing about it too, as we watch Carlos Sainz just sort of take this this last round with Ferrari. And it's like, look, what else can he do at this point? I mean, he's not auditioning because people already know that he's on the block. So it's a matter of just getting every shot he can into Ferrari on the way out the door and be like, okay, well, if you're going to give up on me, that's fine too. We'll just go ahead and win some races for another team as we just sort of drift off into the sunset. Preston saying, don't start with me, Cody. I know we were talking about that. F1 Bet Tipster, good evening. Hey, a lot of great chat in the Discord with between him and Preston and everybody too this week.
Yes. Yeah, some very knowledgeable people in there and shit. I'm learning stuff from them half the time. I mean, again, we don't claim to be, you know, F1 experts on anything and everything. I mean, I would say I'm a NASCAR expert. I know more than anyone else in the entire world, Rod. just kidding. But, you know, still learning a lot on the F1 side. So, yeah, they've always got good info and banter. It's always fun to read back and forth between those guys and many other people we have in the Discord as well.
Yep, and we're going to continue to do so. So what do you say we start breaking down the betting card and talk through the rest of this race as we get going? We'll do that, but first, let me tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that is U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is brand new, and it's a better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users, not just on sports, but politics, pop culture, and other events, so long as it's got a verifiable outcome. Plus, it's tons of fun, and it's got social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut also offers the lowest VIG, which means it's got fully customizable odds, which means you can create your own bet. Cut handles the payment side of things too, so you never got to chase anyone down for money ever again. Social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, so much more, including rewards. Get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. So go download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT.com. Promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. You know, we love us some Underdog Fantasy here on the F1 Gambling Podcast, as well as the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Gave you a full episode's worth of Underdog. I mean, look, we're going to have to start giving you guys some Underdog F1 plays because I feel like we're kind of missing out. So maybe that'll be a Discord thing. We'll start giving you guys some Underdog Fantasy plays because a lot of times they're not really out by the time we're ready to give them to you. So we'll find a way to get them. Maybe we'll put YouTube shorts out or something. I don't know. I'm talking it through with you right here on the air. You like that? I'm sure you do. But go sign up for Underdog Fantasy in the meantime because you can still play plenty of great sports. You can win up to 100x on your entry. Just look for those chili peppers. I know that there's some sports out there that offer some spicy plays, higher than, lower than the projected stats, or better than or worse than the projected finishing position if you are playing on the racing side of things. So much fun, so easy to do, and all you got to do is sign up today with promo code RACESGPN. You're going to get your first deposit double up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. So visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with our promo code RACESGPN to get your first deposit double up to $100 as well as that instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with the play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, Cody. Well, we started off the episode last week with the same familiar disclaimer that we start off every episode, in that, you know, Max Verstappen's probably going to win this race. He's probably going to be the fastest car out there in the entire world. However, comma, something could happen and he could not. So I'm happy to report something happened and he did not. So that means other bets were freed up to cash in this one. And I think it was, like I said, a lot of fun to be able to sweat bets for a change rather than just going, ho-hum, here comes Max, 48 laps and, you know, a cloud of dust.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that we say that it can happen. We didn't end up giving any outrights this week because, yeah, again, it's hard to predict when that's going to happen, but this is finally the week. But, you know, you think maybe Max goes out, gives his teammate a good chance to take advantage, Rod. Take advantage, his teammate does not. I had Checo Perez to finish top two at plus 105 over on Bet365. If he comes out, he qualifies third place, and you're thinking, all right, he's right there. You know, got him right where he wants him, right? He's going to show up, get around signs. It's going to be 1-2 for Red Bull again. We've heard this story before, right? And you're getting it at plus money, so it seemed like a great deal. Then he gets the grid penalty. I believe he ended up sixth on the grid to start the race. And then he just didn't really go anywhere. I mean, he, you know, ends up in fifth place and kind of just hung out there throughout the majority of the day. So didn't quite see the Red Bull speed that you had hoped out of Checo Perez. And that, you know, that led to the argument at Preston. I mentioned some other people were making that maybe Sainz was just going to be better. But again, you don't compare Max and Checo because, well, look at what they've done lately and it's not even close. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, we'd been through a couple of races and hey, Red Bull had been the best two cars by a lot. And then I think they, you know, the other teams kind of proved this week in Ferrari. Well, the teams as far as Ferrari and McLaren, maybe not anyone else. But that they can beat at least Checo Perez. And they kept him behind him this week and got it done.
And you would think, though, on a track with 16,000 DRS zones, that Red Bull would be able to catch up and be able to make it a run. But, I mean, again, yeah, and F1 bet tips are saying Checo had some damage. And true, it's definitely not, didn't help the situation any, but I mean, again, even before that, it wasn't as if he was coming off to a fast start.
That's not, I mean, yeah, he wasn't climbing through and passing a bunch of cars really before that either. So it kind of looked dead in the water right from the start. And then, yeah, obviously you get the damage from the tear off and everything, which was unfortunate for him, but definitely didn't help.
Yeah, Preston asking if we heard the Russell radio after his crash. Actually, I didn't. I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't either. So share that over in the Discord. We'll listen after the show, and then other people can listen there as well, because I have not heard that radio.
That wreck was gnarly. I could not believe, yes. And I couldn't believe that he actually walked away from that wreck. I thought we were going to have to stop the race.
Man, it's crazy how far safety has come in racing. It's still a very dangerous sport, and you know, we see it in NASCAR, we see it in IndyCar. I mean, we had that crazy roll last year at. Was that Road America? And, you know, was that Simon Pagenaud? I think it was that, you know, he rolled and rolled and missed the rest of the season. And yeah, we've had some scary crashes. You go back to the British GP a couple of years ago.
Daytona with Priest.
Daytona with Priest. I mean, some of the just spectacular crashes that we've seen in motorsports. And these guys, I mean, Ryan Newman a couple of years ago, like, it's crazy how far the safety has come. And they're very dangerous still, of course, but to see these guys get out of these cars and walk away mostly unharmed, it's just more and more impressive. So as motorsports fans, of course, that we love seeing that and seeing that these guys are okay after, like you said. I mean, gnarly is a great way to describe that. Like, what a freaking wreck.
Yeah, and I know that the British guys would not say gnarly, so that's why I put it in there. However,
Oh, yeah, that seems like an Australian word, right?
That's true. Gnar
surf, you know, I mean, it kind of fits.
Yeah, I'll take it. But yeah, and then again, you know, that those safety measures allow these guys to be able to push the edge the way they do because they know that their car is safe enough to handle it if something goes sideways or they go sideways. So, all right, my first bet, I'm so pissed. Lando Norris, you need to come see me in my office because I got a bone to pick with you. Lando Norris, look, I had Max Verstappen to be the fastest in P1. Max Verstappen was the fastest in P1 for all but like a minute of P1. It wasn't even a minute. When did Lando turn that fast lap? I feel like it was within the last minute and a half of practice. Like, dude just came out and threw out a fast lap just before it ended. And I was like, you son of a bitch. Like, Max had this on lock. He came out and turned the fast lap like almost immediately, and nobody was catching him. Didn't matter if it was soft tires, didn't matter if it was medium tires, didn't matter if it was whatever. Max was there the whole time, the whole damn time. And then all of a sudden, Lando, by 0.018 of a second, a hundredth of a second, he turned a fast lap on lap 23. That's what it was. So pissed.
As we've learned lately in the NASCAR scene, Rod, don't count your chickens until it's over, because it could get taken from you. That's what happened here, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, again, you were just trying to find a way to get in on Max for the weekend, and this would have been the way to do it, obviously, right? Because it didn't end up working out in the race. So practice was your chance, and so dang close, but just didn't quite pull it off. Speaking of so dang close, I threw out a couple of guys to get points finishes. Then we get half the top runners going out of the race, opening up all these points finishing spots. Neither of them able to do it, unfortunately. At Alex Albon at plus 120. That kind of ended up being an interesting situation, right? Because he wrecks in practice. I heard, who's Derek's co-host over on the All Things Go? Brian.
Brian, yeah.
Yeah, I heard him. And he's like, how is it 2024 and we don't have extra chassis? Like, I get your transporting overseas and stuff, but like, come on, you don't have an extra chassis for these guys? Like, that's just, it's insane to me. And so obviously, you know, if you're still getting caught up, Albon crashes in practice, destroys his car, and Williams is like, sorry Logan Sargeant, but Albon gives us a better chance. And they're not wrong in that case. And you know, so they gave Albon Logan's chassis, and he ends up running the race. And Sargeant doesn't even start, so we only ended up having 19 cars attempt the race. But and then Albon, you know, all these people get wiped out, ends up finishing 11th, right behind. I would love to see the number on a double Haas podium, because my goodness, had to be a huge number as they scored the 9th and 10th place finishes. But all that stuff opening up, and just it sucks. And yeah, F1 Bet Tipster, we used to have a spare car called the T car, but they disappeared due to cost reasons, for better or worse. And I get that, you know, they're trying to stay under the cost cap, and everything's about saving money these days. But like, we got 3 practice sessions. We have 3 qualifying sessions. Like, sometimes these cars are going to get torn up. I don't know. You think, yeah, oh, that's what we've done in NASCAR, is we've limited, you know, a 2-car team can bring 1 backup car for those 2 cars. Like, maybe we could have 1 chassis laying around for these 2-car teams. I don't know. But so he misses out. Then, Rod, I said I was going to get hurt by Valtteri Bottas at plus 750. You know, in retrospect, I think laying a big number at this track on a points finish was the correct call, because obviously we end up with some chaos in the fact of, you know, Verstappen, Hamilton, Russell all out of there, opening up some points spots for sure. But Valtteri Bottas made a pit stop, and I'll let you know in a few minutes when he's done making that pit stop, because my God, it happened again, just sitting there. And it's the most brutal thing, because like, these pit stops are so fast, and they come in and it's boom, gone. You know, you see it at the beginning of the Drive to Survive, 2 seconds. And then he comes in and it's like, so brutal. I guess I'm done. I think I'm going to retire from betting on Valtteri Bottas now and move along and find someone else to be my long shots.
That's probably good for your health at this point. I would hate for you. In fact, Preston was talking about having a heart attack. Like, that's, you know, his biggest, it was in practice head to head. That was the race. It was Piastri versus De Vries. And when he said he had a heart attack, we knew it was practice. So yeah. When you have Yuki Tsunoda, Nico Hülkenberg, and Kevin Magnussen all finishing inside of the points, that's when you know that this race was bonkers.
Lance Stroll is in there too. I mean, jeez, come on. You know, and Preston, imagine finally achieving your dream of becoming an F1 driver and having a Sauber pit crew. Mm-hmm. JDK saying Chastain had faster pit stop than Bottas. His was bad. And Sanio thinks they're still pitting. Actually, I don't believe they're done yet. So, just it's brutal, and that's twice in three races now. I mean, it was 56 seconds in, was that Bahrain, I think, the first week, and then I don't know how long this was, only like 30-some, but that's a long-ass fucking pit stop. So just disappointing. You know, and he started 13th, like not a bad, you know, for plus 750 to be in the points. He's only got to get a couple of spots. You lose three big drivers, or, you know, earlier on in this. I mean, Max was out lap three. Lewis was out shortly after. It was, you know, Russell ended up classified, so he was in there for a while. But, man, just, yeah, sucks, because it's like maybe he would have had somewhat of a chance, but we end up with these long-ass pit stops, and then you're just screwed.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do anything.
I also played him as my captain in DraftKings, which was not ideal.
Heartbreak. Yeah, that's not very nice. But no, you know, all in all, it's got to be frustrating for those guys, because not they need to actually. Books, can you give us a slowest pit stop bet, and maybe every week we can just bet on
yeah
him and,
you think Max's number to win is big?
Yeah Botas's number would be gigantic.
Botas's number is minus 7 million for like slowest pit stop each week.
I'd still hammer it, because it would cash you more weeks than it wouldn't. All right, so my next bet, remember I gave you Ollie Bearman as a top six car, which I tell you what, if he was in this, it probably would have been a top six car for sure, given what we saw. But then I also said, look, if Ollie doesn't go, if Sainz can go, I mean, all the news was saying that Sainz could go, but I was still like, meh.
Yeah, it still seemed on the fence when we did our show. I mean, they were reporting it's likely going to be Sainz, but there was still kind of some question throughout the weekend of, you know, he's going to get through practice and qualifying and stuff, but is he going to be able to race? And obviously, Sainz was able to race. Lucky for him.
Yeah, and lucky for him and lucky for us, we sort of doubled down on it and said, fine, take the Sainz podium at plus 175, because guaranteed that was probably the best number you could have gotten, because a Sainz podium, I didn't check it after qualifying and after practice and all that other stuff, but I'm damn sure that it wasn't anywhere near plus money. I'm sure it was probably somewhere or if it was, it wasn't plus 175. Because after qualifying,
I would imagine it's not, because you're starting on the row next to Max. I mean, you're probably not getting that number anymore. So yeah, this was a great call by you.
Yep. So Sainz plus 175 on the podium, I mean, I told Cody and I had talked about it before the show. Do we give it out as an official bet? And so we were like, yeah, probably should, just because if he does go, that's a good number.
I think it was the right call to have both built in there. Like, hey, if it's Bearman, you bet six instead of podium. If it's Sainz. And Preston checking in saying minus 200 on race day. So, yeah, exactly. You got in early, and again, you know, it goes both. I mean, F1 lines shift, NASCAR lines shift quite a bit, and they've shifted more over the past year or so. But F1 lines shift a lot, and so I enjoy locking in some of these bets early in the week, kind of calling your shot. You save, so you always save some stuff for, you know, to add things later on, of course. But this is a great call by you. And then, Rod, there's a bit of a misprice over on Bet365. Both cars for Ferrari to finish in the top six, minus 163. Should have done double podium, I guess, because they end up in first and second place, of course. But this was a no sweat for you. I mean, it looked pretty good. Obviously, Sainz starts right up there. And let's see, Leclerc ended up fifth. So, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a foregone conclusion he was going to be up there. But obviously, with Max dropping out early and then Lewis, you know, it looked like he was going to definitely hold on and quickly got up there and behind his teammate. So, this was an easy one to cash at minus 163. I think when I gave that one out, it was minus 350 on a few other places. So, luckily we were able to snag that one at a good price.
Yeah. I wish we would have gone double podium on that one. I literally looked at it, and then I thought, well, Ollie Bearman's probably going to be in this one. So I jumped away from it, but I really wish that I had jumped on it.
Well, and I think we had talked about it, but it's like Red Bull likely is going to take two. I mean, from what we'd seen through the first two races, Red Bull had seemed to be so much better. And again, if Max doesn't get out, Max is winning this race. Like, I don't think there's no question about that. That's the thing that's going to stop him is a mechanical issue, and that's what did. But obviously that opens up the you know, that extra podium spot if he's not in there. And then with the Checo penalty and not being able to recover, it ended up not being a sweat at all for the top six, at least.
And I'll agree with Preston, though, when he was talking in the Discord, that Sainz, I think, would have made it tough for him. I really do. And I honestly believe that even when I was watching the race, I thought, because, you know, when you start the race, a lot of times Max just kind of goes away, and that's the last you see of him all day long, right? But that didn't happen. Like, Sainz was actually keeping it a little close right off the jump.
But Max had the problem right from the get-go. And
he did, but he didn't at the same time.
It wasn't obvious, yeah. I don't think. But, I mean, maybe Sainz keeps it close, but I don't think we're to the point yet where someone is just out-racing Max.
Yeah. No, not right now, obviously.
Speed. I mean, you know, maybe if they start well enough ahead of him and can build a cushion. But how many times did we see it last year where, I mean, there was a few times where he started like 10th or 6th or whatever the case and still gets up there. So I just don't think we're to that point yet. I think Ferrari has established themselves as the second best. I think we already talked about that already last week, and we continue to see that again this week, and they're improving, but nobody is to Max level. I think that I don't think we have to assume now that it's just going to be Red Bull 1-2, although I think that's going to happen a lot still. Maybe there is a little bit closer, at least between, you know, the Ferraris and Checo.
Yeah, that's true too. And of course, obviously, we'll see next year too when Hamilton jumps into that ride what kind of strides the second car can make, even though that's the only one winning races right now outside of Red Bull.
Yeah, so. Is that the second car this year, Rod? I don't know.
I don't know, Ed. You're telling me, right? All right, speaking of second car, whose second car? Is it Fernando Alonso now, or is it Lance Stroll? Lance Stroll finishing 6th, Fernando Alonso finishing 8th. I put Fernando on the podium. Look, it was 5-1. I mean, this was nothing more than just, you know, if Fernando could find some of the success.
Didn't Alonso finish, was he 5th or 6th before the, because he had that penalty assessed after.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
trying to remember. Was it 10 seconds?
I think it was a 10
second. Well, either way, I think he was 6th. I think he was just ahead of Stroll.
Yeah.
It was not on the podium.
Yeah, it wasn't a podium.
Not as far back as the result, you know, with the penalty at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, it was that the what we learned.
But
is
as
that
we've learned,
on
Rod,
the sheet is what is the official finish
penalties
is
count
exactly.
Yes. Okay.
But I'll say this, and Alonso did not have speed all weekend long. He was nowhere near the top of the sheet in practices. He just did not unload with the kind of speed that we would think of. And if Max, Russell were both in this race still. Then Hamilton, if all three of those guys would have still been in the, he would have been 8th anyways. He'd have dropped out of the top 10. He would have dropped out of the points with that penalty. So, and Preston, yeah, saying he got a 20-second penalty, and he was 6th when he did it. So, yeah, I mean, look, again, it's just Aston Martin camp has not necessarily performed to the level that they showed last year that they could do. So, They got a lot of research to do right now to get back up to that speed that they had last year with Alonso. And I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to stay away from Alonso for a while on these podium finishes.
Yeah, I mean, they've clearly fallen back, I would say. So, the number was good. And again, we did, you know, we still don't have all the answers. We're only 3 races into the season. But I think that Alonso's definitely kind of showing that he's not necessarily all the way up there. So, and then yeah, Preston checking in. Max was 15th in Miami, ran down Checo for the win with laps to spare. That was back to my point of doesn't really matter where Max starts. But Rod, the way to do it's the way to hit these bigger bets. The fastest lap sprinkles. Now, of course, you could have had Sainz to win this week and it would have cashed for you. But even on weeks when Max is running, the fastest laps seem to hit more often with other drivers. I went with George Russell at 12-1. That did not hit, but I had Charles Leclerc 8-1. We kind of taken it back and forth in the chat on, do you just go with Ferrari? Do you just pick one of them? When Sainz took over, I'm thinking, fuck, I should have took Ferrari. But luckily Charles Leclerc snags that fastest lap late, grabs that extra championship point and hits the 8-1 for us on the fastest lap.
Yeah, and again, it's just that's the one, like you said, that you can sort of just go on a first touchdown basis, right? Where you just sort of take a unit, break it off, and throw it where you think it can land. And I mean, thankfully for us, it was the Charles Leclerc side of it because, you know, it very could have easily been Carlos Sainz running away, a la Max Verstappen, JDK taking Ferrari
JDK
plus
got
500
Ferrari.
That's
is still a good number. So, yeah. And then you're covered with both of them. I mean, it's really not a bad way to play it by any means.
Yep. But I did pick the wrong Ferrari to win without the favorite. And this was, again, sort of my process was thinking that Bearman was going to be in that car. You heard that Sainz was still hurting. Now, three quarters of Sainz is better than the rest of the field to this weekend, but still, you know.
Leclerc should be the better Ferrari car, too, so it would make more sense. But, hey, Sainz is the one who's got the last two wins now for Ferrari, so.
Yep.
I guess, he's not going away quietly by any means, Rod.
As well he shouldn't, damn it. I mean, if you're going to get Wally pipped, well, I mean, he wasn't injured when he got Wally pipped, but if you're going to get taken over, you might as well just show them what you're missing. It's like when your, you know, significant other tells you that they're about to leave you, and you've got, you know, a couple of weeks to prove to them that they're probably making a mistake. Carlos has the entire season to prove to them that they're making a mistake. And that's really what it's all about. So, all right. Again, this was a great race from a standpoint of we had something else to talk about other than Max Verstappen dominating. Granted, it was Carlos Sainz dominating, but, you know, 57 laps this guy leads from pretty much wire to wire. Well, it was wire to wire because he jumped off and got the lead from Max beforehand. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I want to see more of this, but I also wouldn't hate it if, you know, another week went by and Max didn't win another race.
Yeah, it was nice to see. And again, you know, we've had the conversation a million times. You got to respect the greatness that we're seeing, that we're witnessing. But it kind of put a little more excitement in the beginning. Like, oh, Max is out of this. Now we got to see everybody else kind of duke it out. And even though Sainz still led the whole thing, like, it was nice to see it not just be a big Max Verstappen win. Yeah, you know, I would get ready for him to win the next 10 races because that's been the pattern here. But it was nice to see.
Well, and what's funny is that I was watching this race with people that aren't F1 fans, and they probably never really watched an F1 race before in their life. So as Max was popping off, I was like, "Oh my god!" And they were like, "What?" And I was like, "This never happens." I was like, "You're witnessing."
He's won every race for 5 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, "This is it. You're watching history right now. Max Verstappen is out of this race, and that doesn't ever happen." Yes. So I was like, "You guys don't know the significance of this, but this is great." Preston saying, "Rod, I would love more of this. Max not winning, I'll take it 21 more times." I mean, I
wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, I was gonna say we've talked about this. We know that we would all love to see more variance in the winning, but
it can happen to him is what I'm trying to say.
He's not immune to this.
He's immune. That's the word I was looking for, Rod. Words are tough, but yeah, it can happen to him, and it did this week, and that's how it goes.
That's how it goes. All right, well, we'll put this one in the rear view, much like Max Verstappen would love to do, and we'll wait another week until we've got to go to Japan. And we'll sit here, and we'll wait, and we'll come back to you next week with that. But we're going to talk some Indy. We're going to just kind of wrap up this Indy situation because, this is Open Wheel Podcast. and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let me tell you about Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off of your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. So I think we decided that we're gonna envelope IndyCar into F1 when it's appropriate and when it fits, because first of all, they seem to want to just sort of pick and choose when they're appropriate and when they're relevant. So I guess we'll do the same for them. However, this was that $1 million challenge where the total prize purse for first place was $500,000. So you do the math there. But Cody, my biggest takeaway from this weekend is the rich really do live privileged lives, do they not? These guys.
I mean,
$1 million houses, a track in their backyard. Like, where the hell?
They literally live on a racetrack where they can just bring their Ferraris out, whatever. Like, oh yeah, let's go drive the fancy cars, whatever.
It's just, yeah, I don't know that I'll ever get that rich, but how fun is that, right? You just get to go out and be like, I think I'll take the Aston Martin out today for a stroll. And there
when
you
I win the when I win the Mega Millions this week, Rod, I'm gonna buy us a house out there so we can get a NASCAR gambling podcast car to drive out in that track.
That'd be fantastic. Preston saying IndyCar, oh IndyCar. I didn't mind it so much live until I saw some people pointing out things I hadn't necessarily thought of. It's a failure to me. Oh man. Yeah, so here's the thing about that challenge, right? It definitely was brand new. It was something they're trying, and I don't ever hate people for trying something new. I don't, because to me, maybe it's the self-help books I've been listening to lately, but failure does kind of bring out the best in what you can do, right? You learn more from your failures than you do your successes, and so you know, this wasn't necessarily a failure per se, but I'm sure there was a lot that IndyCar goes, well, we probably could do this different, or we probably could try this again next time, but with this much of a twist, or maybe we don't go to rich people's backyards where they don't sand their track and grate their tires.
Hey, they're paying enough.
That's true, too. But, yeah. So what were your takeaways, Cody?
I love tire wear, Rob.
Well, shit, that wasn't just tire wear. That was like, I love the cheese grater thing, though. That was my favorite
part. The cheese grater was great. He's out there with the actual block of cheese just grating the shit out of it. That was wonderful.
Imagine these are your tires.
Destroying it.
Like, all right, well, I'm hungry now, but thanks. So, but what were your takeaways from it, Cody? I mean, this was IndyCars. This was cars on the track. We have to be happy about that, right?
Yeah, that Alex Plow guy is pretty good. That was my takeaway, Rod.
That's understandable.
You know, we went to St. Pete, a couple weeks ago, and Plow kind of looked pedestrian to a degree, and it was like, okay. And then we came out this week, and Plow was definitely the star of the show. But I thought it was fun. I thought it was exciting. Again, I'm just more frustrated in the fact that we're 6 weeks between the first and second points race. Like, that's the part that's kind of grinding my gears. I think if you're going to do this race, you do this before the season. I don't think you need to start the season and then do it. I think this should be the clash type of thing, right? We see with NASCAR, and that's become a little gimmicky where they're going to, you know, to the Coliseum, and you know, now where do they end up next, or what do they do? But I think that would be a better spot for this, and then like let's actually get some races going to get some momentum built for the season instead of waiting 6 weeks before and kind of having this dog and pony show in the middle. But it was IndyCar on a Sunday. Like, I enjoyed it. It was before the NASCAR race. So, you know, sitting there, you got to flip it on, had basketball on the other TV, kind of, you know, excited to watch both things back and forth. I know you weren't watching any basketball, Rod.
I was watching March Madness.
You know, we get the drop of the green flag, and then everything just goes crazy. Cars are getting destroyed and wrecked, and tempers are flaring, which was exciting. And then really the heat races were fun, right? I mean, you know, that sixth place, and you got guys running down, and how much push to pass does everybody have, and trying to get there in time. And then the feature was exciting in the fact of, you know, you had guys kind of saving some tires at the back. I think we should maybe let guys just put more fuel in the thing. I don't like whatever. That whole thing was a little interesting. Like, oh, sorry, you made it into this race for all this money, but you didn't put enough gas in there, so you're out now. But whatever happened there, whatever. But overall, it was exciting. I think it would have been more exciting if we'd have been able to bet on it. Obviously, that's, again, like, what are we doing here? Like, odds to make the main event, Rod. We had some big names not make the main event. We had some smaller names, some rookies, right, make it. And Fittipaldi made it. And Lundqvist made it. Like, let's get odds on stuff like that. Let's have head-to-head matchups. It's so frustrating, the lack of IndyCar betting. And IndyCar themselves like created odds and put them out, and still no books picked up.
What was that all about?
Yeah, I know. Like, what the fuck? So, I don't know. Just frustrating. But I think it probably would have been a little more entertaining if we could have bet on it, but that's okay. Well, I guess there was some live. Was it JDK was saying there was some live odds on one book?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Probably Bet365, I think, is what he usually does. But yeah, and then Preston saying no betting lines, no tickets to the race unless you're a Thermal Club member. No fantasy. Like, yeah, I mean, really, I guess those things make it much more exciting for me, having the betting, having the fantasy aspect, and not having that kind of sucked. But overall, fine. I'd rather do it before the season, and you make it like a warm-up type of thing, have some money on the line, whatever, that's fine. But let's get some more points races early in the season, and let's get some betting lines no matter where they're fucking race. I mean, we can bet on preseason testing in F1, and we can't bet on this race for IndyCar.
Can bet on preseason games in football. Like that's
Indy 500 lines are like posted front and center on all these books and have been since November, which is great. Thank you. We appreciate it. But how about the rest of the fucking IndyCar races? Like, just give us some damn odds.
Yep. JDK saying 365 had the live odds, but only for the main. And you know what's funny is that, so I think he asked who, and both of us were like, Pelot's going to run away with this. This is not even close. Like, I want you guys to, you know.
That's like saying Max Verstappen is going to win a race probably, but it was going to be tough to beat that guy when he's that looks that good in the heat race. And then he starts up front. Like, good luck.
Well, what cracks me up too, is that they were talking about how these guys up at the front, if they jump out and start, you know, cheese grating their tires, how is that going to be? And it didn't even matter for Pelot. Like, he wasn't even taking off fast. Like, he took off and he slowed the pace down, and Scott McLaughlin just slowed down with them. Like, there was no push at the front. So there was no reason for Pelot to burn up his tires, because there's no pressure. Like, and I'm sure McLaughlin had like six years worth of push to pass left behind him. And so, you know, nobody was pushing except for maybe Colton Herta, because he was the one that started in the back and kept his tires almost pristine. Now, he made it all the way up to fourth, but there was no way he was going to be jockeying for the lead at that point. So,
well, and even like Pelot saved his tire. Like, he noticed, oh, hey, everybody's saving their tires. And so he was using it a little bit more, but he was still kind of saving out front too. And so it ended up being all 12 guys are saving their tires. Mm-hmm. And Fittipaldi's saving his gas. But, I mean, I don't know. It just wasn't overly exciting, so.
Yeah.
But like, give me more IndyCar. Like, I'll sit and watch it. I did. I'll sit and watch more IndyCar. So just give me whatever I can get of IndyCar, because I love IndyCar, and it is exciting in a general sense. So.
Yeah. And again, for me, this is what we're talking about too. There's a little more racy. It's a little more racy than F1 when it gets to be, it gets out there. And then again, if you just give us something to watch, give us lines, give us something to talk about IndyCar, your sport will grow. I mean, you've seen what's happened to NASCAR. You've seen what's happened to F1 over the last couple of years. When you start to give the fans more to be involved with, they're going to be involved. So if you're an IndyCar official and you're listening to this, which I don't know if anyone does, but or if you're involved in the books in IndyCar, we're asking for it. So whether or not you give it to us is up to you now.
It makes everything more exciting, whatever it is, a baseball game, a basketball game, a football game. If I've got money on the game, if I've got fantasy going or DFS going or whatever the case is, like, I am going to get more invested into it. So help us out. And you're going to get people are going to be more prone to, oh yeah, I'll throw some money on that and pay attention. Otherwise, whatever.
And you got knuckleheads like me and smart people like Cody talking about it all day long. So we want it. Give it to us. But until then, we'll just continue to do it like this. We'll shotgun it and we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about IndyCar in 7 weeks when they have their next race.
But and we'll talk about F1 next week when they have their next race, where JDK was talking, or saying Ricardo out in FP1 in Japan so they can run all Japanese drivers. Yeah, that's the way this is going to work, right? So, all right, Cody.
Oh, my God. The Long Beach Grand Prix is April 21st, Rod.
Oh,
geez, that's a whole month from now.
It is a whole month
ridiculous.
From now. That's all right. We'll be fine.
Oh, well. Back for F1 next week. Yes, sir. We got some NASCAR stuff the rest of this week, which, Rod, by the way, Caesars just dropped their lines. Ty Gibbs, 18-1. Do not walk. Run as fast as you fucking can to go place that bet, because he's going to get absolutely hammered down. I'm making that official play right now. This is, if you just listen to the Cup Series betting episode, you're going to get a worse line. And I'm going to talk about how, if you listen to the F1 gambling podcast, you got it at 18-1. Go fucking bet that. Ty Gibbs is winning this week, and I can't believe they're giving us 18-1.
That's on them, man. They'll learn. They'll learn. They'll figure it out. And again, they'll learn within the next couple days. I love it. Arturo saying, hey, I can finally catch you guys live. Been listening to both of you for more than a year already. Well, thanks, man.
Love it. Yes. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate that.
Unfortunately, you're catching us at the end.
Yeah. It is the end. Maybe you've been here though the whole time. Hopefully.
Yeah. I hope so.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Click the bell. It'll notify you every time we go live, and we're doing all the F1 shows live now as well. So we'll always be right here on the NASCAR Gambling Podcast feed if you're listening on the podcast and want to find the YouTube.
In fact, yeah, and luckily we did the recap show last night, which freed this time slot up for F1. So, yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good of us to be able to do that for all of you guys out there. So,
Worked out nicely.
All right, Cody. Well, then as we send everybody off to enjoy the rest of their Monday or whatever day it is when you listen to this, please let everyone know where they can find you outside of the confines of the space.
Yep, follow me over on the X, at Husker_Zeeb. Find all my stuff over there. Got more basketball stuff up. Got an article out today for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Upsets for Sweet 16, so go check that out. And again, yeah, join us the rest of the week for NASCAR. We've got Cup Series and Xfinity, so all the races we had last week with all five series in action. Now we're down to just two this week. But that's okay, Arturo. You can just go back and listen from the start right now like it is live, so no problem there. And we'll see you guys next week for the Japanese Grand Prix.
Indeed, we will. Follow me on X at RJ Villa Gomez. Link in the bio about everything I've got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review. I've got WrestleMania stuff coming out this week. I got some NASCAR stuff coming out this week for them. And then, of course, make sure you check out Seth and Elliot on the back road as they get you set for Richmond in the NASCAR series as well. Like Cody said, we'll be back to talk to you about the Japanese Grand Prix next week. And until then, everyone, have a great week. Let's go racing and let it ride.